Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs Drink Podcast. I'm Elvis, your host. I'm here to let you know that this is a not safe for work podcast. If you have small beings, creatures in the room, get them out. We use language they might not like to hear, or you might not want them to hear. Anyway, we are teachers who are at the end of the week. We love our jobs, but we want to keep them, so we're using pseudonyms, hence the Elvis. If you'd like to help support Teacher Needs Drink Podcast, you can join us on Patreon for as little as $5. You get access to lost episodes, interviews, special bonus episodes, as well as extra contact with us and Teacher Needs a Drink swag. Also, we'd like to let you know that Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is sponsored proudly by Ludlam Dramatics. If you teach theater or know a theater teacher in your building, send them to ludlamdramatics.com. They have all kinds of theater resources, including a biographical poster on Lin-Manuel Miranda. Anyway, if you have a story you'd like to share with Teacher Needs Drink Podcast, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook or through the contact page of our website, teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com. Also, we're wrapping all this stuff up. If you really want to help us out and don't want to spend money at Ludlam Dramatics or Patreon, you can just help spread the word. The easiest way you can do that is subscribe and then find one person in your building and tell them something you've learned from Teacher Needs Drink Podcast. Tell them just one thing you heard, like, oh, Elvis said something so crazy, or that sparkles, or whatever it is. Anyway, it's time to get started. My friends, enjoy, take care of yourselves, and, oh, I just said it, but I'm going to say it again. Enjoy episode 47. Cheers.
Energy, bless his heart. I bet it's 3 inches hard.
Small dick energy heart.
Mm-hmm. I bet it's 3 inches hard. Bless him. Damn it, man.
Welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and I absolutely did not space out for a minute there. So, with me today, I have Miss Sparkles.
Hey, y'all.
And also with us today, Mr. Turd Ferguson.
I'm going to quote Mel Brooks on this one. I've been accused of vulgarity, and I say that's bullshit.
And also, we have Miss Shirley Temper.
You are not a beautiful and unique snowflake. You are the same decaying organic matter as everyone else, and we are all part of the same compost pile.
Oh. Well, damn. We're all in a great mood. Welcome back. So, this week's been just a lot. It hasn't been like a bad, well, I take it back. The news and like outside world is outback and nasty, but I realized once I started getting back involved with the school and some of the in-service, and all of my in-service were handled very well, but just getting back in, I kind of felt good having that little bit of a purpose back. I was like, huh. So I went from doing nothing to actually doing it. Okay, this isn't crazy. The plan with the school mat's good. I'm in a really good mood. I also got like an amazing good news email, like right in the middle of like before we started. So life's kind of good at the moment. I'm kind of excited now. But what's going on with you guys? Mr. Turd Ferguson, how are you doing this week?
Hey, I'm doing great. I actually got 2 days with kids through Zoom. And I want to say that the first day was a little bit on the rough side, but the second day was a little bit better. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to say, like, the rough part wasn't anything to do with the kids. It was just trying to figure out how to balance certain things, like with the Zoom and then this app and then this app, and putting it all in and make certain that it moves slowly and flows well, because the kids were learning new systems and I was just like, okay, let's do this, let's do that, and boom. But you know, I'm not going to complain too much because I got to see kids, they're excited about my class, and life is good right now. So boom,
that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Miss Shirley, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I still have 2 more weeks of professional development.
Holy shit.
I know. I'm not mad at it. Everything is being done through Zoom, and when we do have to meet, like we had to meet in person, even though it could have been a Zoom, but we went in the auditorium and everyone social distanced and wore masks, and we did it by department, like in small groups. So I felt safe, which is nice. But I'm the same as you, Elvis. I've been surprisingly in a much better headspace since I've had a little bit of routine. I've been able to get up and do my makeup, and I love doing that, and I love getting all dressed up. I've been wearing full dresses and heels like a crazy person just because it's been like 5 months since I could wear real clothes. So I'm like trying to cram it all into, I mean, who does that? A crazy person. Yeah. And I've started making a lot more TikToks since I've had my whole classroom to myself for a little while. And I made some professional development TikToks. And so my district thinks I'm very funny.
Oh, you're a superstar now.
I have 2 likes on Twitter.
Miss Sparkles, how are you doing this week?
I'm pretty good. It's been a wild ride this week only because of the construction. So as you all know, my school has some construction going on, which has prevented us from going back into the school. So today we had a meeting about like, here's how you have to enter the building next week. And like, we all have assigned doors and whatever. But like, my internet went down for a hot second. So I had to text my principal and be like, hey, I might need to come up and work in my room. And she was like, that's okay. Just don't tell anybody. It's a secret. Then of course, the second I got ready to leave, my internet freaking came back on. So I was like, JK girl, JK. Just kidding. But it's been good. I am looking forward to like working in the building because I think I'm an adult with ADHD inattentive type who was never diagnosed as a child because I was really good at school. And so nobody was ever thought like, oh, this one's got a problem. But I've discovered as I sit in my house trying to work that I cannot pay attention, that I really struggle with my concentration, like on anything, on TV, on reading a book, on embroidering, on playing with the dogs. Like I can't focus on it. So I think being back at work will help me get my brain in the right headspace to do my job.
Since most of us are, if we're not teaching already, are doing some kind of in-service, I'm curious about your personal experiences so far with social distancing in schools or with the students or with masks or how that's gone. For me personally, it's been really, really good and supportive. However, like the few schools I'm working at are very, very tiny. And so it's really easy to get 7 or 8 people in a room 6 feet apart and wearing a mask. And they even gave us face masks and face shields if we want them and all kinds of great stuff. But
I can say one thing that I do know is my district, and I think my campus especially in particular, has been very clear about procedures right now for coming in. Like I said, like we have a specific door we can enter and exit. We can only enter and exit at specific times because somebody has to be at the door to like do a temp check and everything. We have specific bathrooms we're allowed to use depending on what hall your classroom is on. Like, it's intense. And they've made it very clear that if you are in a room with another person, you better have a mask on.
Long story short, I mean, ours is not nearly as intense as Miss Sparkles, but now I'm thinking that it should be. But yeah. In which case, like in our rooms, if we are isolated in our rooms, you do not have to wear the mask. But as soon as you step out into the hallway, you need to be wearing your mask the entire time. If you are anywhere near anyone, wear your mask. Now, there is another department in my hall wing area that they share an office. So the two people in that office, they are doing Zooms with their masks still on. And one of them said today like, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm going to find a different spot so that I can actually, you know, teach without the mask on or Zoom without the mask on. And there it is. We do know that there are a couple of people that have not exactly been, diligent in wearing their mask. And we do know that an email was sent out to everyone as a general reminder with like 30 different exclamation points after it, like, wear a damn mask when you're in the building.
Oh, honey, I can't. We were told that you had to wear a mask, that it was non-negotiable. If an adult was not wearing a mask, they would be written up and immediately sent home. That has not happened, and it's clearly not going to happen. People aren't wearing masks at my school. They are not social distancing. They're meeting together in groups. And some of them are wearing face shields, but not a mask underneath. Don't even get me started on that. And how the fact that science fucking says that that's not safe. The face shield goes on top of the mask, you dumbasses. But it boggles my fucking mind. And not only are they not wearing masks, they're not social distancing. I had to go to a training in the cafeteria, which is really huge. And it was just two different departments so we could spread out safely, which is fine with me. And everyone in my department socially distanced, wearing a mask. This other department full of coaches, I said it, coaches.
Fucking coaches.
Fucking coaches. Like half the table not wearing masks, sitting together all at the same table, shoulder to shoulder. But the cherry on the shit cake today, the cherry. One of my friends who's in a different department than me sends me a message and says, my department is in a small conference room. There are 12 people in there. None of them are wearing masks. They are having a party for one of our teachers who's medically fragile. Who got a kidney transplant a year ago. It was a celebration party.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What?
None of them are wearing masks. They brought food from home that they prepared, and they were all eating it.
No! God.
Stupid. Yes. Damn it. Fuck.
Yes. Yes. I'm so angry.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
I work with my best friend. I'm very lucky. She is down the hall from me. Even when we are in the same room together, we stay 6 feet apart and we keep our masks on. We don't hug. I haven't hugged anybody. It boggles my mind. And I think, honestly, truly, people think that, oh, this is my friend. They would never put me in harm's way. Dummies, it's a virus. Nobody does it on purpose.
Right. It's not like your friend's like, let me give this bitch COVID.
It makes me feel crazy. It makes me feel crazy. Is that like, am I wrong there? Or I feel like because of your reactions, you're on the same page as me.
Yeah, it's pretty universal. That's stupid. I'm curious, have any of your schools or district discussed or talked about what their plan would be for when students come who have been exposed or you actually have confirmed cases? One of the schools I'm at, their only line is that if someone is having symptoms, they are not allowed to return to school for 10 days unless they have a COVID-free note from their doctor. But if they even go home and say, like, oh, I've got a headache or I can't, blah, 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 they're not allowed back until they come back with a doctor's note. And that's not going to, even if they end up being positive, they're not going to shut down a class. They're just going to wait for people to show symptoms and limit to exposure. But since it's going to be small and they seem to like small class sizes, like really small, we're talking like 6 and 11 kids in a big, big room. I'm not as worried about that. But what is your situation? What's going on? Turd, your hands up.
See, I'm worried about that shit. I'm not talking about my district. I'm talking about like in general, like so I have not heard a plan. I think that's mostly because we don't have kids coming on campus yet. And I'm hoping that it gets addressed before we do have kids coming on campus because, I mean, I'm assuming, and that's the bad thing, it's an assumption that they're going to go by the guidelines that were laid forth, that you're going to shut down that school for and clean it for 5 days, and they're going to go virtual, but nothing's been put to paper, nothing's been put out to us, and I'm just like, okay, do not make this a last-minute bullshit thing, please.
It's all hypothetical. It's if you're exposed, then you... It's kind of bullshit. Basically, even if you're exposed, unless you show symptoms, you're expected to be there.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to hold my breath for any type of thing. I will say, I have a new super, and we met with him today. And he said repeatedly, we are planning on starting on the 31st, but that may not happen. And he said, we'll probably have to shut down. And I say this, I feel like every week, I don't feel like a lot of principals and superintendents are being that frank. So I'm hoping, because he's new, that he's a man of action and not word, because, yeah.
I'm trying to remember, because I know they said something about teachers, if you're exposed, only needing to quarantine for 5 days. Unless
oh, wow, only five?
No. Yes. And, right. And part of it... That. Yeah, I know. Part of it is that our district is hewing to the CDC definition of exposure, which is very specific. So it's like, you are less than 6 feet apart for 15 minutes with no face masks, or you got secretions like on you, like they coughed on you and you got spit on you or something like that. And that is what I think the CDC is considering like long-term exposure or whatever, whatever they call it. But that is the only way we're going to quarantine as of right now. Now, I will say, my district has been changing something almost every day. So I imagine the first actual positive COVID case we have in a building will lead to some changes. Because we've actually been really lucky. As far as I know, there haven't been, like, because our bands have been up there rehearsing. They stay 10 feet apart. They rehearse outside and all of that. But when they come in the buildings to, like, get their instruments and whatever, they get all their checks and what have you. And I don't think any of our schools have had to shut down this summer like some surrounding districts have. Like, they've been super, super strict. Like, basically, they told all the directors, like, hey, if you've got kids coming up to school, you need to take their temperature while they are still in their car, because if their parents drop them off and they have a fever, that parent must come back and get them. You cannot let them in the building. So yeah, they're like standing out there taking temperatures at the curb before kids can even come inside. When the inevitable happens, because I feel like in every school, no matter how diligent they are, COVID's gonna come into your building.
Yeah, it's coming no matter what.
Yes. Like, as diligent as everybody is being, well, not, I don't want to say everybody, Georgia. I see you, Georgia, and I feel for you, Georgia teachers. But when COVID inevitably makes it into our schools, I do think that my district is gonna be like, oh shit. Oh, we weren't actually expecting this. Fuck. Okay. Just kidding. Change of plans. Ah! And there's going to be like a panic with like a chicken with the head that's been cut off. And then they're going to figure their shit out.
So this one is about our world's favorite, Miss Carol Baskins. This is from Salon.com and written by Mr. Roger Sullenberger. It's titled, Stop Hiding, Betsy DeVos Accused of Holing Up in Her Mansion as She Pushes for Schools to Reopen. Yeah, fuck that bitch. Here we go.
Yeah.
As school systems across the country reckon with the innumerable challenges of reopening amid the pressures of a resurgent coronavirus pandemic, Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos has reportedly isolated herself within her expansive Michigan estate. At the same time, public attitudes about reopening have soured as schools experimenting with in-person learning report nearly immediate outbreaks of COVID-19. Yep. In a recent Politico poll, almost 60% of Americans rejected fully in-person learning. That figure rose from 53% in July when DeVos compared the risk of returning to school with riding a rocket ship in space in a phone call with governors. As DeVos has apparently distanced herself from population centers while the pandemic affects new parts of the country, she has simultaneously pushed for the nation's public schools to put teachers and students back in the classroom full time. This DeVos' hardline advocacy, which flouts both the warnings from public health officials and medical data, drew fierce criticism from everyone before she disappeared into her summer home. A spokesperson for the Department of Education rejected the report of DeVos's isolation. "It's simply not true," the spokesperson told Salon. Secretary DeVos has held 9 roundtables, 4 briefings, and 30 calls with governors. She's provided 7 major flexibilities and taken 5 steps to protect students' rights to wear masks. But NBC News reported Tuesday it could not find any records at all of a significant number of public events held by DeVos with public school officials. In other words, they're lying.
No,
dubbed
shit.
The McMansion from Hell by BuzzFeed, the education secretary's 22,000 square foot estate on the shore of Lake Makatawa commands a 24-hour taxpayer-funded security detail courtesy of the U.S. Marshals Service when she is there. So, ladies and gentlemen, our leader of education, Betsy DeVos, hiding in her mansion on the lake and not doing a damn thing to help or say or do any kind of leadership role whatsoever. And my God, these districts need good leadership. They don't really need her leadership, which seems to me the kids don't have to wear masks, but you get in there. But my God, thoughts. Somebody, let me pull up the app. Anyone, Turd, what you got?
I mean, are you really that surprised that she's holed up and just plain chicken shit? She's never been in any public education institution ever, and she doesn't hold any kind of degree or, anything to show that she has knowledge in the area that she is has oversight in, and we're going to wait on her to make a decision? No, I'm just like, even if she did come over and say, hey, we're going to do this, I'm just going to like, yeah, good luck with that. Fuck that.
No, I'm not surprised she's hiding at all. If I had pulled the shit she's been pulling, I wouldn't be able to show my face. I'm really curious how a lot of these people who have worked for the Trump administration and made a lot of these just blatantly anti-people, anti-life, anti-whatever, not anti-life, but anti-Black Lives Matter, anti-statements are... can even show their face and not be embarrassed. I really don't get it. So her hiding in a cave, well, not a cave, in a huge-ass mansion makes sense to me. I'm almost more scared of the people who are still just out there like, yeah, haha, yeah, I did that. Oh, don't worry, it's cool.
Dear listeners, listen carefully. You got a fucking vote in November, for the love of God. Get your ass to the polls. Request your mail-in ballot. Do whatever it fucking takes. I don't care if you are in line for 12 hours to cast that vote, for 24 hours. You got to vote. We got to get this bitch out. And the only way we're going to do it is if Trump is not president. You
say it again.
You say it again.
All right, so this is from Reddit, posted by Burning Daylight 89. Where are all the fidget spinners when we need them? Parents complaining about not being able to handle their kids at home during virtual learning are the same parents who chewed out teachers back in 2016 when their child's fidget spinner was taken away because, according to them, it did in fact help their child focus and was not at all a distraction to their child and the entire class. All they have to do is use that same energy and bust out the old fidget spinner. Edit. I'm not referencing children who actually benefit from having fidget gadgets to help them focus. I've seen the benefits of fidget toys such as these with my students. However, I have also seen students who don't even need such an aid and creating class distractions with them. They simply want to jump on a new fad. Those are the children I'm referencing.
Mm-hmm. Now, parents need to get their shit under control, but man, it is overwhelming. On the parent side of it, I've got my two kids at two different schools, middle school and elementary, and I think in the last 72 hours, 3 days, I have gotten 43 different emails from each school just saying what the new procedures are, what they want to sue, when's pick up and drop off, when not pick up and drop, like supplies they want to send home, all of that stuff. And it's getting to the point where I really can't read them all, because some of them are just like, hey, that link didn't work, so we're sending this again to like a whole nother message. Like if they had just waited and just sent out one master communication, it would have been beautiful. But they're sending out so many, I really can't and probably won't read them all, no matter how hard I try for the love of my children. And then they end up missing out. So it's hard, but I'm not about to chew out the teachers or bitch at the counselors, because my God, I know what they're going through. It's hard for everyone. It sucks for everybody. Turd.
You see, here's the thing. With all the Zoom classes going on, I want to say that teachers are even more under the microscope. I'm already hearing from other people in my neck of the woods that, like, parents are coming in and being all upset because they already see. And this is, like, on day three or four for these other teachers that I've been talking to. They're already upset that certain accommodations are not being fulfilled, and rightfully, okay, that's something that we're supposed to do, but they're like getting up in arms just because things aren't being done immediately the way they are supposed to be on day three or four. Give us a chance to build relationships, please.
But I've seen some schools that have almost crazy Zoom requests where they're literally expecting their students to be on Zoom meetings for 7 hours a day or 6 hours a day. We all know even the most like obsessed kid watching TV isn't going to sit there for 7 hours without getting up or doing something else, or my God, actually paying attention for that long. It's insane what some places are expecting to do.
Pretty much never am going to like those parents anyway, and so if you give me a reason not to like them, I'm really going to just take it and run with it.
They're not going to win you over.
No.
Hey guys, guess what?
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 Turd, did you hear me? Guess what, man?
What?
We have a Patreon. Yeah.
Patreon.
No, you don't.
That's right. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to unreleased episodes of Teacher Needs Drink podcast, bonus episodes, interviews, snippets, things that were cut from the show. And also, you can get Teacher Needs Drink swag, like bottle openers, buttons, shot glasses, koozies. It's amazing. Go to Patreon now. So this is called the meteor. Earth is about to be struck by a mammoth meteor. Though no one knows exactly what will happen, most scientists assume life on Earth will be totally altered and potentially eliminated. Everyone on the planet is freaking out. Suddenly, you receive a bizarre email. The government demands that you must fly to Washington, D.C. immediately by order of the president. The email message includes a first-class plane ticket. Once you arrive at the airport, military police confiscate your cell phone and wordlessly transport you to a secret hangar that houses 10 massive space shuttles. You are escorted onto one of the ships. Not counting the crew, there are 24 equally confused people waiting on board. You recognize a few of these people instantly. Bill Gates, the musician Prince, and Oprah Winfrey. When the individuals you don't recognize begin talking and interacting with one another, it becomes clear that all of them are brilliant scientists, consequential artists, or extremely wealthy political figures. The ship's captain informs all of the passengers that the space shuttle will be leaving Earth in 2 hours. He does not say where it's going, although he does insist that anyone who wants to remain on Earth is free to stay behind. You are 90% certain you have been selected for this trip by mistake. Do you remain on board? And if you do, how will you explain your presence to the other 24 passengers? You have no idea if admitting your true identity will disqualify you from traveling. Who has thoughts? What are you going to do? You're on the escape pod.
I have so many thoughts.
Go for it.
First of all, fuck Trump.
Nice.
You know, I'm classy. I like to keep it classy. Second of all, Prince is alive?
Yeah, yeah. The card's like 3 years old. So okay. Bear with me here.
I mean, I was excited.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Third of all, fuck yes, I'm leaving. No, I'm going to stay on Earth and die. Hell no. If there's an out, I'm going to take it. And if somebody asks me why I'm here, I'm just going to be really mysterious and be like, why do you think I'm here? And just never, never tell anybody. Just let that mysterious persona marinate.
I think my sole mission would just be to seduce Oprah. That's my goal. Sparkles?
Like, who answered this question and who answers it and it's like, no, I would totally stay on Earth and die in a fiery meteor. Like, what? Like, no, I'm leaving. I don't care what it takes. I don't care who I have to lie to. I don't care if I go to space jail. I am getting on that escape pod and I'm out, Girl Scout.
Yeah.
I want to say I'm going to miss my wife, but I'm going to go.
Well, I mean, this is a world where Prince is still alive, so I'm assuming that it's some alternate like reality where I'm not married and I don't have children and I can be completely selfish without consequence.
It's the one where David Bowie survived, because that's exactly when it all went down. Nice. It was when he went off the planet. Mm-hmm. It all started about then. All right, my friends. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Please take care of yourselves over these next few weeks. It's going to be intense as we all kind of get back to it. But do what you can. Make sure you take time for yourself to breathe and acknowledge your feelings. And, man, get a happy hour in if you can. Sit like 8 feet apart or just have cocktails over Zoom if you need to. But make sure you're out there for other people. I'd like to thank my guests today. Ms. Shirley Temper, it was wonderful having you.
His name is Robert Paulson.
And Mr. Turd Ferguson, I'm glad to have you back.
Thank you. I'll be over here in the compost.
Yeah. And also, Miss Sparkles, you were a delight.
That's right, I am.
All right, my friends, deep breaths, deep drinks. Cheers!
Cheers! There's some hoes in this house. There's some hoes in this house. There's some hoes in this house.
All right, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is brought to you by Ludlam Dramatics, as well as our fine, wonderful Patreons over at Patreon. Remember, for as little as $5, you can get access to bonus episodes, extra stuff, lost episodes, all kinds of great stuff. And also, I'd like to give a special thank you to our guest today, Ms. Shirley Temper, Mr. Turk Ferguson, and Ms. Sparkles, as well as a big hug and kiss to Priscilla, who's by my side while I do all of this stuff. Now, where was I? Teacher Needs a Drink comes out with new episodes every Wednesday at the crack of 12:05 a.m. And that's really all I got. My friends, please take care of yourselves. Deep drinks, get sleep, rest, you know, adjust your angles for Zoom so you don't get like five chins going on. You know, take care of yourselves. Anyway, cheers, my friends. Bye.
Does that include a link to your OnlyFans, Elvis?
Shh.
It's just feet stuff. It's very classy.
Uh-huh. OnlyFans / Little Elvis.
It's little.
Bless his little heart.
You started that.